Hello and welcome to the Royals Rundown Podcast, the Kansas City Royals podcast in association with Inside the Royals. I am Jake Milham, and joining me tonight, I have the boss man, Jordan Foote, over at Inside the Royals joining me tonight. Jordan, how are you doing tonight?
Man, good, Jacob. I'm excited to come on the podcast. I believe this is time number two. I made a cameo, I want to say back in May, perhaps, maybe April, maybe June. Hell, maybe it was the beginning of July. I mean, time's all a social construct and a blur. With that said, deadlines are in place. I know we'll talk about one specific one on the podcast today, but I'm excited, man. Happy to be back. So thanks for having me.
Heck yeah, of course. Always happy to have you on. We'll have to make it more of a point moving forward. But hey, speaking of time as a social construct, you did spend some of your time this afternoon out on the golf course. I know you talk about it a lot on Roughing the Kicker, the Arrowhead Report podcast. So I just want to get an update. How was your golf game today?
Man, I have several tan lines now, man. Like it's insane. So I was out there and started raining towards the end. So, I mean, the weather was better than it has been in Kansas City. That was fine. We played like a modified scramble format, which was interesting. I had never done that before. I went with my uncle and his buddies from work. I had never been with them. We got our you-know-whats kicked. And they were way out of our league. They were just so much better. We only won out of the 18, I think, six holes, if that. Mm-hmm. So it was humbling for sure. And it's already a very humbling game. But, man, getting out there, being able to swing, hitting some good shots, nothing better than flushing a golf swing. I just maintain that's one of the best things in the world. So it was a good Sunday, man. Good to get out there. Good to enjoy the weather. Good to drink some alcoholic beverages, a couple of those. It was a good time, man. And of course, I had the Royals game on my phone. Had to keep up with that as well.
Of course. Man, I tried to sit down and actually watch the Royals game because I listen to it most of the time. I feel like I digest what's going on during the game a little bit better. Tried to sit down and watch it. The MLB TV feed was absolutely atrocious today. It was like I was watching it in a fever dream. Just everything was all blurry and things. It was this oddest thing. But I just sat down, ended up listening to the game. Thankfully, the Royals pulled out a 4-2 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays. So, hey, I will always take a series victory, especially to open up the season second half, man. Very, very good stuff from the Royals today. I mean, how are you feeling after the first three games back?
Not too shabby, man. When Brady Singer and Chris Bubich do what they did back to back, it's hard to not be impressed with what they did. I still have my reservations about Bubich, like major reservations. I believe it was Leske and Royals Farm. I mean, Alex tweeted it the same day where they recapped, and heading into that last start today or Sunday, whatever this is coming out, he had a 3.94 ERA over like a pretty good sample size. So he has been playing better since coming back. Then he goes out and pitches seven innings of ball, plays really well, only walks a few, gets some strikeouts in there. I just don't think if he is a starting pitcher in a rotation long term, he's probably a number five. Like he just doesn't have the stuff. I don't think he relies on the fastball too much to just can't get by guys. But Vern mentioned on his postgame show, which I highly encourage anyone in the KC area to listen or online. He talked about being a Brad Keller, like owning that you don't have the stuff to get by guys can almost help you do it more. When you're chasing that swing and miss, you're going to get hit quite a bit. And Chris Bubich has chased it probably as a young guy. He's only 24. So he played well. Singer, man, when that slider's going and he's mixing in the changeup and the sinker is on, you can't hit the guy, which is why I think he still has that ceiling of like a number two starter in a good rotation. Because when he's on, dude, he is on. And he has, since he got called back up, he's played really well too. So these guys got sent down. Maybe they didn't fix anything. Maybe it's all going to come back to get them by the end of the year. Sure, there's some luck involved, but they're playing well. It's hard to be too upset with the results they're getting, whether you're a player, a fan, a media member, the owner of the team. With that said, my buddy Joel Penfield, and you know Joel, he texted me the other day. He said, my biggest fear is like them playing well enough to quote unquote like save what they have going on. I'm not trying to name a certain person, but like save that person or someone he's friends with on the staff, basically saving Matheny and Cal.
Yeah,
that would be terrible. So they can play well, but they can't play that well.
Yeah, there you go. We have to set that bar somewhere. So, and hey, look, as of right now, when we are recording this, the Royals are not in last place in the AL Central for the first time in many moons. The Royals are not in fifth. They have a very, very slim lead over the Detroit Tigers. But look, man, I don't know. It was a strange feeling. I sat down, I looked at the standings and I was like, huh, we're only 13 games back. From
that's first it. Place. They're only 13 back.
Yeah,
that'd be a really cool story. Like if they it were would. Able to even to get close, like even sniff. Like, what's their winning percentage right now? It's 37 and 57, or 38 and 57.
38 and 57.
Okay, so if they played, let's do some math live on the podcast.
No,
38 plus 57. 38 out of 95, 40%. They've won 40% of their games. 162 minus 95, so they got 67 games left. If they won 60% of those, that would be 40 plus 38. So that they can finish with 75 wins if they like really buckled down and got it done. I wouldn't bet that they will.
Yeah.
But they can avoid 100 losses. And earlier in the year, man, if you would have asked anybody, they'd say, oh yeah, the Royals are staring down 100. I'd bet my life savings on that. Now they're slowly inching away from that. Still bad, obviously. Not a good team, but they're a competitive, fun, bad team. And that's okay. Yeah. That's kind of what people expected last season. This year they expected a step towards contention. Obviously not the case. Reset that timeline a bit, maybe next year, then you make that step.
Yeah, and you know what? I know they showed it last year towards the end, especially in like that late August, September push. And I feel like that's why expectations were so high for 2022. But yeah, if they can recapture some of that heat, and maybe late July, stretch out that hot streak for more than a month, at least, I guess you will be showing progress. But you, Joel, is right to a point. Fact is that there is a ceiling on this franchise and on this team as long as certain people are in the positions they currently are.
It's a tough scene.
It is. You want to root for them to win, but you also don't want them to do too good, especially with the lottery system next year, man.
Yeah, Joel, also, if you're listening, you aren't right. We're not giving you credit for that. we'll give you credit, Joel. He's a nice guy. We like him.
Yes, we'll throw him under the bus here and he can try to pull himself back out on one Royal way. All right, yes. There we go. One more bit of news. So I didn't realize it till today personally, but for the Royals' second game against the Angels, there currently is not a starter lined up. Would have been Daniel Lynch's start, but he went back to the IL, so he's going to miss that start. So we could see a bullpen game there. We could see Angel Zerpa come up and get another start. We could see Carlos Hernandez come up and get a different start. Jordan, if you had to pick kind of from those three options, what would you prefer?
Could it be Heasley? Does that 15 count on the All-Star break, or would it still not even be 15, or did he go on the 10? So I have several questions.
So
all that I should know the answer to. So shame on me.
No. So if I'm recalling the math correctly, Heasley would be eligible to make that start. However, he had an absolutely atrocious game today in Omaha. So I'm not too optimistic about him personally.
Yeah. So if you're picking, I think Zerpa is the way to go, especially considering how he pitched last time out. He's only like 22. Like, that guy's very, very young. You keep giving him shots. And then eventually, if somebody, God forbid, does get hurt by the end of the year soon, maybe Daniel Lynch's blisters are like not going to heal up in time and you want to shut him down for several weeks in a row, a few weeks, a month, rest of the year, whatever you want to do, bring up Zerpa. Get him in the rotation. Me and Joel talked about this on One Royal Way, and just get him out there. those kind of things seem to have a way of figuring themselves out with the rotation, with injuries, with they have too many cooks in the kitchen. Zerpa needs to get innings, and he's probably not ready. He's probably not good enough, but he has played when asked to fairly well. Like, he's done some decent things. So I would vote him. I am intrigued by Carlos Hernandez, but like, last time I checked, he hasn't been dominating in AAA. So I don't know what you do there.
Right. Certainly a lot more question marks than answers, unfortunately. But we do. So sticking in the injury theme and a lot more question marks than answers. How are we feeling about this Bobby Witt injury, man? Like, do you actually, I don't trust the Royals to properly kind of handle the situation. Day to day is too much gray area, you know?
Yeah. And a certain somebody was like, he wasn't supposed to be day to day. He was supposed to be out for a long time. Then the Royals kind of drug it along, then let him come back out there. Then he got hurt again. It was the same thing. So that's Salvador Perez, of course. Whit Merrifield, day to day kind of guy. Now they're sending him back out there risking. I don't know if he's healthy or not. You could bring up the vaccination thing. So that's kind of a case in and of itself. Like the Michael A. Taylor thing, he was day to day. Who knows if his shoulder is still bothering him? Who knows? Who knows what the Royals are going to do with injuries with Mike Matheny at the helm? I'm not saying he is like this master, like all-knowing power. You're going to go out there and you're going to, you know, he's not a dictator or anything, but he's not going to stop Bobby Witt Jr. from playing. And he always says, we have to keep these guys in check. They want to get out there so bad. Like when Witt first hurt his hand, and he said that it was like really swollen and it didn't feel good. Staking grounders like the next day or like 2 days later. Perez is already hitting in BP like 4 weeks after he was supposed to be out for eight. Like, so if Witt and his hamstring, those are tough, dude. Like,
they are.
Even in football, in any sport, you can come in, get a hamstring, it can derail your whole year. I mean, if you push yourself back too quickly, it's going to be bad. So I hope that he doesn't get hurt or re-aggravate anything. The Royals have absolutely zero reason to rush him back quickly. Mm-hmm. They don't need to see much more of him this year. He kind of has the problems he has. He kind of has the strengths he has right now. A lot of it's going to be off-season work. He's played pretty darn well. I would hate to see him try to do a Jeter throw, or like try to lay out for something, or try to steal a base, or try to get down the first baseline too quick and then get hurt. And that's the last thing you want to see. I think they're going to handle it the right way. I don't think it's major. Obviously, he doesn't think it's major, but there's one team I don't trust to handle it the right way. Probably the Royals.
Well, I think you summed it up perfectly. I ain't going to lie. But hey, you know what? He is a kid. You know, we're us old heads here. We remember the times as a kid.
I'm barely older than it. I have a problem calling older players kids. And then I realize, like, simultaneously, I'm 23. So some days I feel really, really old when, like, Juan Soto came up, or like when J-Rod was just dominating in the Home Run Derby. I'm like, yeah, I'm really a bum, you know, compared to those guys. is Witt 23 yet, or is he only 22?
I believe he's only 22.
I can call him a kid then. Never mind.
There you go.
Case in point. Right.
Exactly. But look, it's something I didn't even realize till right now. The Royals don't have an off day until August 8th, man. Like, this is going to be an absolutely brutal stretch of the season for this team with a slew of lingering injuries. So that is not too great.
Yeah.
Oh, but let's kind of follow the rabbit hole a little bit more. How did you feel about seeing all the stuff from Salvi? Because the last episode that we recorded, you know, we just got the picture of him in, you know, catching a bullpen, but you know, now we're seeing him, you know, they said something on TV today. He was putting on Home Run Derby-esque performances during BP today. And I had the same exact reaction you did. I just rolled my eyes. And I'm like, they're really going to try to spin this narrative of Salvi as a hero, right?
On one hand, I don't know what he recovers. He seems to recover a lot quicker than other people. So there's one element. Element number two, you would think the doctors wouldn't clear him for stuff like that if he couldn't handle it. So maybe there's two, three, the Royals maybe know they don't need him back out there. So they would also say, hey, dude, you're not in a rush. So on one hand, probably 75% of me is like, they know what they're doing. I'm not a doctor. I'm going to stay out of the way and not say anything. The other 25%, though, is like, Mike Matheny's not going to tell Salvi you can't swing a bat. If the doctor hasn't explicitly said he can't and Salvi shows up and is ready to go, I don't trust anybody to stop him. So, like, I think he's going to come back earlier than expected. He's going to not get hurt again, but you're still running that risk, dude, of like, I don't know if he's healed at six and they're like, okay, dude, you can come back 2 weeks early, then fine. That's great. But if he's not healed and he just wants to play, which we're never going to find out, probably whatever happens.
Yeah.
That risk, like, I hate commenting on the injuries with the Royals because we don't know. Like, and the stories that come out, I wouldn't be surprised if half of them were like not corrupt, but weren't exactly the case. Where like Salvador Perez and the whole injury thing, it took putting two and two together and reading through reports and all that stuff and putting a timeline together. The Royals didn't do any of that and say, admit, hey, we rushed him back too early. We let him play, blah, blah, blah. There was no fault or blame or responsibility with any of it. It was just kind of timing. So who knows what's going to happen. Again, hopefully it's not bad. I just don't, my gut feeling isn't great. My mind feeling is fine because I think they know what they're doing, but the Royals as an organization have shown they kind of don't really know what they're doing. So
And you know what? You have folks getting paid pretty good living wages to have.
I would take that job to kind of not know what I'm doing.
Well, I mean, nope. I was going to say a name.
We're going to say I'm already making money to not know what I'm doing, because that's a fair point, too.
Dude, I'm just not making
nearly as much as them.
I'm in the military. I'm doing the same thing as you. So we're all in the same boat there. We're just getting paid different amounts. But
look, oh man,
just got to wrap it up, man. All of my uncertainty and my distrust in the Royals stems from the fact that they've already done this once this season.
This year. It's not even like over his career. It's like this season they did it, like literally a month ago.
Like we're not stupid. Fans are going to remember that. Hey, y'all did the thing that made him have the surgery. Right. So look, if he, like you said, athletes in any sport all the time, they heal faster. They heal a couple weeks early, nothing crazy. But if I see the end of this week that Salvi is about to start his rehab assignment, I have questions, I have concerns, and I've got words. So yeah. I'll just leave it at that, man.
Yeah.
Look, the big cloud that's hanging over the Royals organization right now is definitely the trade deadline. Draft is passed. The All-Star game is passed. Those were kind of the two big roadblocks to the trade deadline really heating up, according to the talking heads and MLB.com and things like that. And we talked about this before we started recording about some comments from Royals Weekly about, you know, how the trade deadline would be, you know, less than optimal if the big three of Andrew Benintendi, Michael A. Taylor, and Whit Merrifield are not moved. Jordan, I'm going to let you. I don't know. Like all three of the, it's so weird, dude, but I'm going to let you go first. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I'm trying to pick my words carefully. Cause on one hand, I would like to think that the Royals would see what's happening and say Whit Merrifield needs to go for various reasons. Michael A. Taylor needs to go for various reasons. Adrian Benintendi needs to go. That just makes sense. Benintendi makes 100% sense. Taylor probably makes 90. Merrifield probably makes close to 100 as well. Yeah. Like there isn't a world where it makes sense to me to justify keeping any of them. Cause a guy like Michael Massey, let's try that again, is going to come up through the system and be ready to take a spot. Drew Waters is going to be ready to come up and take a spot potentially. Kyle Isbell needs more reps. Edward Olivares is going to be healthy at some point. Like, if the Royals have to, Nick Prado can take a left field spot or a right field spot or whatever. The Royals aren't devoid of not capable replacement talent. Like, it's not like Nick Prado is going to come up and hit like Andrew Benintendi or anything, but capable replacement talent and literally getting a body up there to occupy a spot in a lost season and play ball and play promising, fun, competitive, frustratingly bad sometimes, rookie mistake, doing stuff they should be doing this year anyway. This is what the 2022 season was all about, figuring out who belongs, who doesn't belong. There are three guys who don't belong that need to be traded, if not more. I don't know if they're going to do it. I'm going to lean that they will still. I'm by my laptop every second. Everywhere I go, I bring it with me. I'm like, if something happens, I have to be ready for this. But like, on my end, it sucks because that's how the sports world works. But on the Royals end, I don't know when they're going to do it. Like, every time a lineup comes out and I see that, the Royals don't seem like a hug watch type of team. And maybe I'm crazy, but they don't seem like someone who would make that deal or close it during a game. They seem like a morning news dump or afternoon news dump on an off day, but like, they don't have an off day till after the trade deadline. So something's got to give. Maybe it's a speaking it into existence, a Monday afternoon pregame thing. Maybe it's a Monday morning thing. Who knows when it's going to happen, but it's interesting, dude. I think they should trade all three. As far as the question of, is it a failure if they don't trade all three? Probably, I guess. Yeah. Like, from our perspective, for a we know what the Royals organization is like perspective, they got something back for Benintendi and then traded Merrifield. That's still probably a pretty decent win. Just because they didn't trade Taylor wouldn't make it a failure. So that's just such a big word. It's hard to throw around, but simultaneously easy, I guess, when we're talking about the Royals. I don't know where I'm going there, man. I think yes and no at the same time.
Look, sadly, this organization is no stranger to the word failure. So yes. I think the Royals have given us reason to throw it around a little bit lightly. But no, I think the trade deadline would only be a quote-unquote failure if you don't move Benintendi.
Yes.
I mean, he's a free agent at the end of this year. He's unless the ownership group really wants to surprise fans and really give fans a reason to care and think that they're serious, you know, signing Benintendi would be a huge move forward. But if they don't have any intentions of doing that, move on, send him to a contender, get some, you know, get a top five prospect or something from a team. So we'll see what goes on there. But I definitely think there are more trade deadline candidates than just those three.
Yes.
But I don't know. You brought that up and it really got me thinking about like what the Royals really need to do at the deadline. And I think number one is Benintendi. Number two is try to get something for Whit Merrifield. And number three is where you get down into the Scott Barlows and the Michael A. Taylors and things like that.
Well, and the thing is with like Barlow, if you put Barlow in with a Whit Merrifield or you put Staumont in with Andrew Benintendi, then you're going from like a number 10 prospect in the Yankees organization to like the number five or number three. Like teams will, and this isn't really an original thought on my part, but teams will overpay for that. Like teams will overpay for a good hitter who will play playoff baseball and play it well, plus a dominant relief pitcher who's in his prime right now, or I guess he probably has another year or two of his prime left. Relievers are weird. Pitchers are weird. But Barlow's good. Staumont is, velocity concerns aside, interesting. He's fun. He's good when he's good. So if the Royals can package these guys together, that raises their chances of getting something good. And like for a guy that you're going to let go anyway, Benintendi's not going to be a Royal in a year. I hate to break it to people. The odds of them re-signing him are like literally 2% at this point, maybe 5%. Like it's not going to happen. So you have to get rid of him and get something back. It makes sense to do the same for Taylor. Makes sense to do the same for Whit.
It's at this point, it's just logical common sense. Any other things beyond there, just trying to sweeten a deal around those three.
So it won't happen. Of course, because yes. it makes too much sense to happen, right?
Exactly. The 2022 Royals have not given us much reason to believe in logic around this team at certain points. Jordan, I got, and this is probably going to be our closing segment right here, because I think we both have a lot of feelings about it. So today, you know, despite today's really good pitching performance in Kauffman, two like really high level pitching prospects for the Royals have absolutely done atrocious on like a pretty normal basis. Alec Marsh did awful.
I love how you put that.
You know what?
It's just a normal, ordinary Sunday, right?
Yep. Alec Marsh has been struggling. Asa Lacy is struggling. Jonathan Heasley he's getting roughed up at the AAA level when you need him to take MLB starts. And I know all of those players to different levels are dealing with injury concerns. But I think I really see this with Lacy, seeing him coming out of college and into the Royals organization. My question is, if you're running the Royals, at what point do you make changes to your pitching development staff on all levels of the organization? Like what's going on, man?
It's got to be this offseason. Right. I mean, you're going with major league pitching coach, growing all the what they did with the hitting system, three years ago, COVID, when they brought in the complex and all that stuff.
Yeah. Three
when they ago. Do that, that's what you have to do at the pitching league. You don't have to have a top 10 pitching development program. Like, I'd argue the Royals might have a top 10 hitting development program right now with how they're getting everybody to hit. You don't need quite that with pitching. But like, and I love both of these guys, when Ben Cadorna and Ben Hernandez are like, name three other Royals pitching prospects you can hang your hat on. Name two, Jacob. Yeah. Can you name two? And that's not an insult to you. I'm just saying, can anybody name two?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think you can. You can go like, you can't. You can go like Shane Panzi. You can go with like young guys or like Alec Marsh is interesting, but he can't like get results, but the process is okay. Like, you can go Jonathan Bolin, who's coming back from a Tommy John surgery. True. So you can name one, perhaps. You can throw out like Carlos Hernandez, technically, but not really. The Royals don't have Zerpa, I guess.
Yeah.
So you can name about three to five, really two who have been like stellar and like producing. And really, Hernandez hasn't even been that great. He's just been good. Kaderna's been the one, last time I checked, who's been borderline dominant. You can't thrive. You can't even pass the way they are right now. It's you're not going to look. This is going to take a really annoying turn, but I'm sorry, people. There's not going to be another HDH in the back of the bullpen. The defense may not ever be quite as good as it was. So like, the Royals are going to win eventually, but that winning window isn't going to look the same in terms of how they do it. It's not going to be small ball and getting on base and running a bunch. They can still do that, but it's not going to be defense. It's not going to be HDH. It's going to be, you build a good bullpen with depth. You build a really, really good lineup that's going to be better offensively than what your 2014 and 15 one was. It's so random to win a World Series. The Royals aren't, I can't say they aren't trying to do that with this rebuild, because that's obviously the goal, but they're not trying to do it for 2 years. They're trying to win for five to seven, maybe a decade. They're trying to build a sustained contender. I don't think they're going to make as many crazy moves to win immediately and then not win again. So part of that is having pitching prospects who can actually get the job done. And I hate to break it to people again, the Royals don't bleeping have any. They have like five, if that. So it's it has to happen this offseason. That's the long answer to a short road.
Very nice. Staying in this vein, I know you talked about some Yankees prospects that the Royals should be looking at in an Andrew Benintendi or a Whit Merrifield trade. And I was looking through some of those prospects myself and, you know, their grades and their profiles, things like that. And there are so many just in the Yankees, there's so many pitching prospects that are like, hey, yeah, he's got a really good fastball, but, you know, control issues or
endless kind of caveats to all of it.
Exactly. And the frustrating part about the trade deadline is because I want the Royals to go trade for the guy who has a 70 grade fastball, but I can't trust them to fix his 40 grade control.
Yes.
And that is so frustrating, you know, no matter where you're at as a Royals fan, analyst, media person, I don't know what the heck I am, but I'm just here talking on a podcast.
Vibes, just Royals vibes.
There you go. I'm all about it. I'm going to go put that in Twitter profile. Royals vibes, man.
Yes.
But Jordan, I do have one more question. And I've been asking it more of people coming on the podcast. So are you on TikTok at all?
Unfortunately, I am on TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a TikTok series of like two brothers traveling, doing a big road trip, going to all the Coliseums. I thought that would be really cool to do personally. And they give profiles on each one. And, you know, got a pretty good grade. I think they got a B plus grade from them. Food, you know, setup, things like that. But what they got a negative grade in was like the surrounding area of Kauffman and like Kauffman itself looking old. And then I went and I just for a bar, I went and scrolled to their Oakland Coliseum review, and it was absolutely atrocious. You know, food, setup, surrounding thing, everywhere awful, terrible. But it did give me thinking, like, is the downtown move, you know, a little bit more possible? Is it, you know, like, what do the Royals need to do to make you, Jordan Foote, feel good about a downtown stadium move?
Dude, I'm going to be honest. I don't really care if they do it, but because I'm on the Kansas side, I live on the Kansas side. I should have led with that. So I'm not going to be like paying for most of it. So because, you know, they're going to lead off with like this. We want to pay for it. We want to do this. And then like Judge Sherman's going to say, well, you know, we're going to need some help. And that's just how it's going to go.
Yeah.
People can correct me if I'm wrong here. I think I'm not going to have to pay for it. It's like if they would have moved downtown, the traffic already sucks. So I'm not like, oh, no one's going to be able to drive because they already can't really drive when it's busy. So yep, that's going to be fine. I think it would look cool. I think Kauffman's fine. I don't think it's a crazy good ballpark. I don't think it's a bad ballpark. It just is what it is. And I am not from Oakland or from Seattle or from Baltimore, from New York. So I don't have that like loyalty to those parks. But when I visit other parks, like I visited Busch Stadium in St. Louis, and I freaking love it. I think it's great. And then you have the arch and all that stuff, so the surrounding area is fantastic. The Royals, when people say are like a middle of the park, all things considered, I'm like, okay, whatever. I'd lean the upper part of that. Mm-hmm. B plus is pretty damn good with everything, yep, considered. I don't think the food's anything crazy. I think the beer prices are insane. I think the quality of the place sucks. Like obviously right now, I think the surrounding area is just kind of not directly surrounding, but like directly surrounding the park. It isn't great, admittedly. So yep, I think the downtown move, I don't want to put a percentage on it, but I definitely believe that it's possible. A lot of people are discounting it immediately. I do think it's possible. I do think that John Sherman wants it to happen. So who knows what's going to happen? The World Cup coming to Kansas, yes, City kind of makes me think they want to have a plan in place before then, if they're going to do it or shelf it until after that happens. Yep. So the timeline could be moved all the way up really quickly, or it could be moved all the way back. It's that complex. Lease doesn't end until like 2030. But you want to have like a 5-year buffer, if not a little more, to work on that. So I'm intrigued nonetheless. I think downtown stadium would be cool. I would obviously go. Everybody would go. Mm-hmm. The traffic thing is so overblown, I think.
Oh, for sure, man. I mean, I'm out here on the East Coast. You know that whenever I go to a major league ball game, it's up to Camden Yards in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And everyone in Kansas City is talking about parking and traffic and things like that. Look, go to Camden. They've got that figured out. It is right there in the heart of downtown. and parking's not an issue. Traffic isn't even really a huge issue. You know, when you have 20,000 people plus leaving a stadium, you're going to have some issues.
Phoenix was like that when I was a student at ASU. I'd go to Talking Stick or I'd go to Chase or whatever. Games, if you can walk somewhere, which downtown KC people might be able to because it's downtown.
Yeah.
It's so overblown. If you're busy, you're busy. A downtown ballpark isn't going to screw you. There's already traffic at Kauffman Stadium. So like people should be used to it by now. That's not the reason that you shouldn't build a downtown park.
Very true. Very true. Well, hey, Jordan, that's going to do it for us tonight. We really do appreciate you coming on and talking a little bit of Royals baseball and talking about your struggling golf game a little bit earlier on. So hopefully you get some work in on that next weekend. But, you know, we got about 6 days till next time you can play golf. What are you doing in between now and then? Where are you posting your work and where can people find it?
I was going to say, wait until you hear that that's actually me improving at golf, not getting worse. Then I'm really in trouble. I'm at footnoted, F-O-O-T-E noted, just about everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Inside the Royals, Arrowhead Report, Crashing Hoops. Trying to cover all my bases here. I'm like a certain baseball team. But Jacob, man, thank you for having me on.
Of course, man. It's a pleasure. You're putting in the good work, living out some of our dreams right now. So wish you all the best. Listeners, if you're listening this late, you already know where to find us on social media at Royal Rundown Pod. We're on just Twitter right now, but hopefully looking to expand in the near future. Please go support Inside the Royals. A lot of good work going on over there from the team. One more time, Jordan, thank you for coming on. We'll have to make this a little bit more regular, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Of course. And listeners, thank you for listening. And until next time, go Royals!